Our scripture lesson this morning is Mark 5, 24b-34. Please feel free to follow along in your own Bible, on the screen, or in a pew Bible. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians, had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhages stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was desperate. That's why I did it. When you've run out of options and when you're losing hope, you're willing to try anything. Nothing else had worked, not for 12 years. When the hemorrhage first began and didn't go away on its own after a few days, I went to my physician. As soon as he heard what my problem was, he refused to touch me, saying I was unclean. He listened to my symptoms, then told me it was probably just stress. I needed to learn to relax and handle my problems better. I should pray and meditate, and then I'd be fine. On my way home, I started wondering how I was supposed to relax when I was so sick and I was so scared of what might be wrong with me. For a moment, I thought about going back to ask him this and to see what his advice was, but I was so tired and I had a feeling he wouldn't listen anyway. He'd just have told me that I couldn't get better unless I relaxed, and going back to scold him wasn't relaxing. And so I tried to relax. It wasn't easy since I had so much to do. I had work to do, a family and a home to care for. But I tried to find some peace in my daily routine. I prayed, I meditated, I rested as much as I could, but I didn't get any better. I tried some of the remedies my friends and family suggested: teas, herbs, more rest. I got the feeling that some of them thought that I'd brought this on myself somehow. I must have eaten something I shouldn't, done something I shouldn't, hadn't done something I should. I went to another physician. He had a medicine, a special preparation he blended himself. It was expensive and it tasted terrible, but I was willing to try anything, and I waited anxiously for it to work, but it didn't. I found out about another physician who specialized in problems like mine. His fee was exorbitant, but I took money out of my savings to pay it. After all, you don't need money for your old age if you don't live to your old age. He didn't really listen to what I was trying to tell him about what was wrong with me. I suppose he knew it all already. He took samples from me, cutting bits from my body, and when I went back to him to see what he'd decided, he said it was inconclusive. He didn't know what was wrong with me, so he couldn't help me. I heard about another physician who was supposed to be a miracle worker. I went to him with so much hope. He told me about a new procedure he had that he thought might cure me, though it was expensive and painful. I wasn't afraid of the pain. After all, I'd already been suffering so much. It turned out he was right about the pain, but wrong about the cure. It was days before I could get out of bed again, and I was no better. When I went back to him, he said there were no guarantees, and I must have not really followed his directions. After that, I was through with physicians. I went to the temple to ask for prayers, but once the priest heard about me, he told me not to come any nearer and to stay away from the temple when and until I was well and until I'd gone through the rituals for purification. Years went by, and I was no better. In fact, I was worse. I was sick and exhausted and tired and in pain. My friends and family were sick of me being sick. They couldn't touch me because I was unclean, so they just mostly avoided me. All the people in my life gradually drifted away from me. I couldn't join them for holidays, celebrations. I couldn't hug them, couldn't so much as touch their hand. I felt like I was on the outside of life, looking in. As things continued this way, people suggested that I couldn't expect to get better if I didn't try, so I went to another physician who gave me medicine that made me really ill, but it didn't do any good. After 12 years of seeing physicians, trying their treatments and seeing no benefits, I'd run out of money. I'd spent everything I had on physicians' fees and on anything that looked like it might possibly be a cure. My friends no longer really had anything to do with me. I hardly saw my family, and I really couldn't blame them. I wasn't that much pleasant to be around. I was so angry, angry at my fate, angry at the physicians who'd failed me, bitter at everything I lost. I was so weak and sick that I couldn't do much of anything. I reached the point when I felt like I either had to get better or die. I couldn't go on the way I was. I faced the future with fear, seeing only suffering ahead of me. But then I heard about this man who worked wonders. He wasn't a physician, but he healed the sick. He made the lame walk, the blind see. He cured lepers and cast out demons. It was hard to believe. After all these physicians I'd been to were supposedly going to provide me miracle cures, and none of them had worked. But this was no ordinary healer. He didn't just heal bodies. He healed souls. He reached out to people who need love. I felt like if anyone could cure me, it would be this Jesus. He was my last hope. He was easy enough to find because great crowds followed him everywhere he went. I found him by the seashore, surrounded by a great mob, all clamoring for help. And among all those people, I wondered, would he even notice me? One of the synagogue leaders pushed his way through the crowd and fell on his knees in front of Jesus and said that his daughter was sick and asked for help. He said, "If you just lay your hands on her, she'll get better and live." And Jesus went with him. The whole crowd followed him, and I joined in. I felt that surely if he could cure this girl near death by laying his hands on her, then he could help me. He wouldn't even have to lay his hands on me or touch me. I could just get close to him. I could maybe just touch his clothes, and that would be enough. I worked my way through the crowd, getting closer and closer to him. I saw Jesus just up ahead. So many people were pressed in next to him, trying to talk to him, trying to get their needs met. But I didn't need to talk to him. I didn't need to get next to him. I just needed to get close enough to touch him. I reached out, stretched out my hand, reached my fingers, and there, I managed to brush his robe. And it worked. I knew right away that it worked. It had been so long since I had not felt sick. I'd forgotten what that was like. Feeling good was a distant memory, but I felt good suddenly. I could stand up straight, hold my head up. My feet no longer felt like lead. It was a miracle. I had what I needed, so I let Jesus and all those who followed him go on ahead while I stayed behind. But Jesus stopped at the same time I did. He turned around and he said, "Who touched my garments?" I froze. Had I done something wrong? I should have asked him for help. I knew it was presumptuous. But would he take it away from me? Was I unworthy of healing? His friends said, "How could you know that someone in all this crowd touched your clothes?" And I prayed he would listen to them and go about his way. But he just kept looking around the crowd, and then he looked right at me. I knew right then that he knew who I was and what I'd done. I wanted to run away, but I couldn't. Instead, I threw myself on my knees in front of him, And although I had a feeling he already knew the whole story, it just poured out of me as tears streamed down my face. I told him, I've had a hemorrhage for 12 years. I've tried everything, every physician, every treatment. I've spent all of my money. I've lost everything and everyone. But I felt that you were so great. All I needed to do was touch you and I would be well. And it worked. I'm healed. I know I don't deserve healing, but it's made such a big difference to me. I wasn't sure what to expect from him. Was he scold me or punish me or ask for money like all the physicians had? But he just looked at me and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Before I even had a chance to thank him, someone had come out of the house nearby and told him that the girl he was coming to heal had died. He was too late. I felt terrible. Had my delaying him led to this girl dying? But he told them not to be afraid, to believe. And he went on into the house with one of his friends. I knew that if he could heal me, I'm sure he could help that girl. And I said a prayer for her that she would have the same kind of healing I had. And then I went on home. I was so excited to tell everyone about this amazing man and what he'd done for me. How he'd picked me out of the crowd and listened to me, really listened, and shown compassion. He cared. So I got my life back. I was able to go back to the work I used to do. I was restored to my relationships now that I could be around my friends and family again. And even more important, my spirit was healed. I lost all that bitterness and anger, and I tried to reach out in love to everyone else and show them the kind of compassion Jesus had shown me. You see, he hadn't just healed my body, he'd touched my soul.